Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, guys? It's your host, Dave Mate, for another Mate Wanna show. We're talking about blending herbs, but let me press the rewind button for 1 second because we are also catching this on YouTube. So if you're a part of our YouTube community, part of our Google Plus community, you'll be able to actually see us live video stream on that page. So check us out on Google Plus, and you will find us streaming live. Let me make sure this is going on over here on Google Plus. Let me get this. Hey guys, what's up? Let me do another introduction for you guys over on Google Plus watching this. My name is Dave Mate. This is the Mate Wanna Show, where we talk about powerful herbs, superfoods, all sorts of herbs. No herbs are off limit here. You know, obviously there's some taboo and some hatred around certain herbs in this world, but not on this show. On this show, we're talking about all herbs, all medicinal herbs that interest us. There are no limits. Just keep in mind that this information is for educational purposes only. We are not doctors. We are not scientists. So please consult your own doctor if you have questions about any herbs discussed in this radio show, or consult your own state laws if you are wondering if any herbs are legal in your own state. So again, my name is Dave Mate. What's going on, guys? You could actually join us on the radio show if you'd like by calling in this number, 917-889-9947. So basically, there's two ways to be watching the show around, either through our blogtalkradio.com/circleofdrink, or you could watch us live, the physical virtual video of us over here at Google Plus. So just type in Google Plus /circledrink. You'll find us over there. And welcome to the show, guys. We're just talking about blending herbs. I love blending herbs. I'll give you a little bit about my history of herbs. About 10 years ago, the first herb that I really became interested in was green tea. I was all about green tea. And this was 2004, actually, just over 10 years ago. And I thought at the time, for me, green tea was a miracle herb. I was drinking it every single day for about 10 years. I loved the stuff. I fell in love with it. I researched it. I found out about all its properties. I found out about its ability to heal the body, increase digestion, lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, improve cognition. You name it, green tea was the best thing in the world for me. I loved it, consumed it every single day, several liters a day. That was sort of my entry point into herbs, getting into herbs, falling in love with herbs. It wasn't until 2009 when I started to investigate yerba mate, having lived in Argentina for a couple years, and then I kind of just started to wean myself off of green tea for a couple years, and then I really got into mate. I was in full effect of mate, let's say. You know, I started drinking in 2009, but I wasn't really super serious about it until about 2011, 2012-ish. And after a couple years of just really getting into mate, I started to realize that, you know, there are so many herbs out there. There are so many botanicals, so many plants on this earth that we could consume and love and heal from and just learn about. So a couple years ago, I just started getting deeper into more herbs, all sorts of herbs like rooibos and lemon verbena, cardamom, cinnamon, nutmeg, geoglin, sizandra berries. There's so many, just fruits, dried peaches, dried orange peel, dried lemon, green tea, black tea, rose buds, all sorts of herbs, all sorts of, holy basil, cacao, maca, spirulina, what else can I name off the top of my head right now? Chlorella, what else? Freestyle right now. Just so many herbs, you fill in the blank. There's so many powerful roots out there, so many powerful herbs that you could just add to hot water and drink. But how do we go about blending herbs? Well, it's really not rocket science, but it also is kind of rocket science because, you know, it's easy to add too much powder into an herb or not to add enough of one particular herb. But essentially, there's different ways of blending herbs. The basic ways, in my opinion, and these are just my opinions, what makes a good herb a blend? Well, three components. Number one, the taste. It has to taste good. That's pretty obvious. It has to taste good to you. Number two, it has to look good. You have to have the aesthetics. You know, I'm a true believer that form goes hand in hand with function. You need both. You need something to look good. That's the form, you know, the design, rather. And then the function, the how does it work inside of you? How does it actually apply to you? So I really believe that aesthetically, a tea has to look good. And number three, aromatics. It has to smell good. When you smell things, you taste things. You have your olfactory nerves in your nose. When you smell, that influences the taste. Just like if you were to plug your nose and then drink something, you're not going to fully taste it because you need to hit those nerves inside your nose. Then while you're drinking it, those two taste sensations coalesce and you get a complete taste profile. So again, the blend needs to look good, it needs to smell good, and it needs to taste good. That's your fundamental principle behind all single blends. Okay, now, you have different complexities of blends. You have blends where you're just using two or three ingredients. You have other blends where you're using about 5 to 8 or 9 ingredients. And then you have more complicated blends when you're talking 9, 10, sometimes 15 ingredients. Now, if you're just starting off blending, I highly recommend that you just start to use 2 to 3 ingredients. So if you like mint and you like yerba mate, and you like green rooibos tea, try a very simple, basic blend of mixing all those three herbs together in exact proportions. So an easy way to do that is to grab yourself a tablespoon. If you're going to be a blender, you need a tablespoon. Let me get that for you. Teaspoon, rather. Get yourself one of these. This is the greatest investment that you can make as a blender. One of these little guys. This is a teaspoon, okay? You can get one of these on Amazon, a quality one, for like $5, $6, nothing. And you got yourself a stainless steel, high-quality teaspoon for the rest of your life. Now, the simplest way to begin blending and the proportions is, number one, get yourself a good journal. You need a journal, because remember, you're a scientist now. You're basically going to do research. You're basically going to start a journal of all the herbs that you love and all the herbs that you encounter. Now, step number one is to drink each herb alone first. Each herb needs its own due respect. You must drink each herb alone and study each herb first. That way, as you begin to learn more about herbs, your mind is a repository. It becomes a repository of information. How does mint truly taste? How does mint truly feel in my mouth? How does mint truly affect my physiology and my psychology? How does cacao taste? How does cacao affect my mind? How does yerba mate really taste? And what types of yerba mate taste? What way? From what region? This is the sort of stuff that you got to really get into your head, and it has to become second nature. Of course, the journey never ends of learning, but you got to really give each herb its own individual respect. So after you try, let's say, one heaping teaspoon of each herb per cup, you could just brew it in your basic teapot. Boom. I'd say brew it for 10 minutes. Brew any herb for 10 minutes, usually, if you're going to brew in a teapot, if you really want to get the true taste. So spend a day or half a day or even whatever, 20 minutes, and brew each individual herb. Understand each herb, at least the basics. Then take your teaspoon and use equal proportions for each herb. So if you're using mint, get yourself one scoop of mint, one scoop of yerba mate, one scoop of whatever, cinnamon. Let's say cinnamon. Then add all of those herbs into your sieve and brew. Now, each herb likes different temperatures, but just for good measure, let's just say brew it all at 190 degrees. Okay, I personally don't like boiled water. Some people say when you're using herbs, pure herbs, you should use 212 degrees Fahrenheit boiling point. I'm not a big fan of boiling water because, in my opinion, I guess theoretically, the oxygen is boiled out of the water. Now, when you boil all the water out of the oxygen, it makes the water flatter, more flat. The water is just, it has less roundness. Okay, so we're talking about the physics of the water. The water is less round. And I'm not going to get into all that technical physics stuff about it because this video is not about that. But basically, the water is flatter and it tastes flatter if you boil the water, if it's fully boiled. But if you take the heat off right before it boils, then you preserve a lot of that roundness of water. Of course, you want to use the best water you have, even if it's just Brita filtered water. That's better than just pure tap water. If tap water is the best water you have, then use that water, whatever. Some tea is better than no tea. Now, grab your herbs in equal proportion and let's say brew it for about 10 minutes at 190 degrees Fahrenheit. If you want to learn what 190 degrees is, basically just if you're able to hold your finger in the water for 1 second and take it out and the water hasn't been fully boiled, that's about 190 degrees, okay? Or you could go all out and buy a little temperature gauge for like 10 bucks. And you got yourself an electronic temperature gauge for the rest of your life. Brew that up, then pour that into a glass or a mug, whatever you have. Then let's talk a little bit about what I do. What I like to do at this point is to really get my whole face in there, cover the top like this, and just start to really smell, you know. There's a process called habituation. Now, habituation occurs when you constantly smell something over and over and over and over and over to the point where your mind becomes so habituated to the smell that you can no longer smell it. So you got to be careful of habituation when you're smelling the mate or smelling the herb that you're blending. So you want to smell, deep exhale, and then set it away for a second or two. You don't want to have that habituation building up. And again, hit it again. Smell, and now allow your mind to be loose. It's all about being loose right now. You don't want to be tight. You don't want to be all like calculation, mathematics, engineering sort of mentality. You just want to be loose right now. Be happy. Do whatever you got to do to be happy and loose when you're blending tea. Any sort of constriction in your mind or in your body is going to create a barrier from you understanding this plant, because this plant is alive still. It's living. There's intelligence in these herbs. So go ahead and keep on smelling. Take notes. Whatever comes to mind, whatever it is, cherries you smell, tobacco. I could just name a few things that I've smelled over the years. Bananas, apples, cherries, tobacco, chocolate, Gatorade, Trident gum, different sorts of Trident gum, rubber, soil, copper, iron. All sorts of stuff. And the way to build your palate when you're drinking tea is to just taste everything. Go outside and lick a rock if you have to. Go outside and chew on a little piece of rubber to understand rubber. Go chew on some bark. Go chew on a pencil, whatever. Whatever you have to do. Taste all sorts of foods. Drink all sorts of teas. Buy other people's teas. Constantly bombard your palate with taste. That is how you build your palate. Don't be scared to taste everything. So as you're smelling, write down whatever you comes to mind, whatever you smell. That's the first part of really appreciating the blend that you just made. Now comes time to taste. When you taste, you want to take your sip. You want to bring in some air. Bring in the oxygen into your mouth and swirl everything around while you're doing that. Just bring it in. Don't swallow yet. I know this looks crazy. I know. And just swirl it around your mouth. What's happening now is you are beginning to understand not only the taste of the herb, not only the taste of the blend, but the mouth feel. How does it feel in your mouth? Is it silky? Is it watery? Is it flat? Is it syrupy? Is it viscous? Is it not so viscous? Is it creamy? Take more notes on the texture now. How does it feel? What is the mouth feel? Then take your sip. Now, after that first sip, just sit and just think again. A lot of this is mental. A lot of this is just thinking about it. A lot of this is just meditation. So now that you had your first sip, just think. Okay, take your time. Just go off into a land. Go off into a zone. And just allow the plant. This is when the plant will speak to you. This is when the plant will tell you that it is whatever, lowering your blood pressure, clearing your mind, allowing you more energy throughout the day. This is when the plant speaks to you, okay? So take time. Don't rush this process. Take another sip. Boom. Take some more notes if you have to on the taste, and just boom. That's it. There you go, guys. That's the basis for tasting your blends and concocting your blends. That's the basis. So let me rewind and go back from the beginning just to recap on what we went over. But let me pour myself some mate. I'm drinking mate the traditional way, like this, from a gourd, with a bombilla or a bombisha, which is a filtered metal straw. You put that in there. It filters it. You add the hot water in there. Sorry, guys, whoever's watching this on Blog Talk Radio, on our radio show, you can't see me, but just imagine there's a gourd on the screen. And you drink like that, okay? So let's just do a quick recap before we go to the next segment of this Blog Talk, we're using Blog Talk Radio, of this radio show. But for our listeners, guys, whoever's watching this on Blog Talk Radio, you are able to call in if you'd like. The number is, oh, wow, somebody has been on hold. Shame on me. Sorry, dude, whoever that is. I'll let you in on a second. The number is 917-889-9947. Feel free to call in and share your information with us. Somebody's been on hold for 11 minutes, so let's see who that is. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Dave? Joe, how you doing?
Sorry, brother.
Hey, it's cool, man. I'm actually at my local cava bar right now making salsa for Cinco de Mayo.
You're at your local cava bar drinking mate. That's awesome.
Absolutely, and I'm making
Cinco de Mayo.
What's up?
I said happy Cinco de Mayo.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yes, I'm making salsa here. Fresh salsa.
Nice, man.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. So we're filming a video as well.
If I'm in and out of this conversation, I apologize, but yeah, I'm here.
Cool, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually had a really cool yerba mate blend today. What I did was I took the organic Costa Rican cacao, and I took some Indian sarsaparilla. The Indian sarsaparilla has been used in root beer for hundreds of years, and it's actually a really, really interesting combination. It provides a very earthy yet sweet type of aromatic, vanilla-y, rootbeery type of flavor, and it's just delicious.
Mm-hmm. I never heard of it. Yeah, actually, I have heard of sarsaparilla. It grows in Jamaica.
Yes. Sometimes they'll use the sassafras, but a lot of the time in certain areas they don't have it available, so they'll use sarsaparilla.
So tell everybody who's listening about sarsaparilla, some of the benefits, some of the effects.
Well, sarsaparilla,
how do you blend with
it?
What do you blend with?
Well, sarsaparilla is a very, very vanilla-y, sweet type of aromatic root that is actually, it goes very well with things like chocolate, like vanilla, cinnamon.
Okay.
Like a five spice blend even would be delicious. Things of that nature would provide a good combination for those. And a good yerba mate to blend these types of herbs with, the sweeter, more aromatic herbs, is very good with a yerba mate that's not too fine cut, and like a traditional like Argentine with stems.
Right.
Is that, I forgot, is that con palo or sin palo?
Con palo. What stems means con palo.
Okay, so con, yeah, palo, so it works best with con palo. And it just, because, you know, as you know, the stems and the mate provide the mate with a slightly sweeter accent.
Yeah.
And and it just goes very well with it. It's almost like drinking an herbaceous root beer. It's actually really interesting.
I never made
that
concoction.
If you ever get a chance to go pick up some sarsaparilla, it's definitely something you could try.
So whoever's listening on this show, sarsaparilla, how do I pronounce that again? Sarsaparilla?
That's right, sarsaparilla. I do believe so. I believe that's right.
Check out that herb. Joe Mate from Florida has been using it, and he seems to have some success with it.
Absolutely. I have a local organic grocery store that I go to, and they have a huge assortment of herbs, and every so often I go and pick up some things I've never heard of, do a little bit of research on them, and then see how it'll affect and blend well with the mate, and then, you know, kind of do a little bit of experimenting and stuff, so that's always fun.
So, method of sort way, or you just kind of just wing it every time?
Usually what I'll do is I'll kind of start out a little bit less, and then I'll build up when I feel like the flavor is necessary. I actually tried yerba mate with sugar in the raw for the first time yesterday. I never add sugar to my mate. However, when I added sugar in the raw on top of the mate, I didn't blend it in with the herb itself, but I just sprinkled it on top, and the water instantly boiled it down, and it was just an excellent experience. Just one pack at every 5-6 gourds full is perfect. It helps people really get
the
experience.
So you're a proponent of blending, adding sugar to your mate then?
I believe that it's a good way to introduce people to yerba mate if they're not so much on the bitter side of foods. And, you know, sometimes people have to get the idea and try it a few times before they really enjoy thoroughly the taste, sometimes is what I find. A lot of people enjoy it right away. But I find that if you add a little sugar, it may help some people get accustomed to it.
Yes. We were just talking about that last night. Dane was thinking how he was telling me how sometimes sugar flavor. Dane, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Hold on a second. It certainly does. I actually did it with the sarsaparilla, and when you add it with the sarsaparilla and cacao, it pretty much just tastes like chocolate and the vanilla root beer type of taste that is really prevalent in root beer. That and since there's sugar, it actually brings out the flavor more because it's already a sweet aromatic herb. So those are the good types of sugars that you could use for those scenarios. As far as brands like Itapua, that brand, for instance, is a very malty, dark, almost black coffee-like yerba. And it's an excellent yerba, and it blends extremely well with dark chocolate or cacao. And I find that without sugar, it's the best because the sugars don't really mix well, in my opinion, with the dark malty flavors. It just gives it a weird flavor, in my opinion. But I'm sure, you know, there are people who would enjoy it.
Right, right. So what I want to do right now is just do a quick rewind and let everybody know about the basics, what I said in the beginning of this video, my methodology of blending. What I believe a good blend encompasses is three factors. It has to smell good, it has to look good,
you're cool.
And it has to taste good. Smell good, look good, and taste good. After that, you got to go through your stages of tasting it. What I like to do in the beginning, use equal proportions of each blend. After that, it's on to the smelling phase, actually smelling the herb. Take your time, cup to cup, smell the herb, take some notes, think about it, then you want to taste. Bring in that oxygen, swirl it around your mouth, get the mouth feel, the texture, and then you drink the herb, you drink the blend, then you allow your mind to be loose, super loose, super meditation. That's when you go into your Zen mode, your Zazen, down on a cloud and float away. Take notes again, and then rinse and repeat. Do that every day for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the same blend. And that's how you begin to understand what's going on, blend. And then you share it with all your friends in time, get their feedback, and there you go. That's the basis of becoming a blender, blending 101. What do you think, Dane?
Oh, I'm sorry. What was that?
Doing great.
I apologize. I'm
oh,
right
no,
now.
No, no,
no.
It's fine, dude.
What'd you say? It's kind of loud here, too.
Nah, I wasn't speaking to you. I was just speaking to everybody on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. But yeah, I think one of the most important things with blending herbs is finding the right proportions. Because if you experiment at too high of too much herbs at once, it can be overwhelming and it might turn you off to it. So start out very subtle and work your way up if you feel the need. That's the way I like to do it.
So start off subtle, you're saying. Start off with small proportions of the herbs and work your way up as necessary. That's what you're saying.
Right, exactly. Because if you just jump right into it, it may actually ruin the flavor if it's too strong or if it's just not the right type of blend necessary. But if you kind of get the hint that it's something that'll go well with the herb, then I feel like it's something that is, exactly, it's going to be beneficial. We have to find the sweet spot.
I agree. Now let's talk a little bit about personality of herbs, personality of blending. Now, I truly believe that every single blend that you make has its own personality. It has its own character.
You got to
think about when you're creating an herb, when you're creating a blend, what sort of feel, what sort of movement, what sort of attitude should that blend have? You know, like for instance, let me give you an example. When I created a Chocolate Prophecy blend about 2 years ago, Chocolate Prophecy, I used very heavy, hot herbs. When I say hot, I'm not talking about physiology. I'm not talking about physics, rather. I'm not talking about thermal heat. I'm talking about energy. I'm talking about herbs have cold energy and hot energy. So when you think about the energy, like the yin and the yang, the cold and the hot, that has to come into play. This is more advanced aspects of blending. So for instance, when I wanted to create Chocolate Prophecy, I used a lot of herbs that I knew would do well with bringing your heatness up, bringing up that energy, bringing up that boostness. But I also balanced it out with other herbs like mint.
It's about the synergy between the herbs and how they can help each other and be. I'm sorry?
Yes, you got to find that synergy.
Because when you have herbs that are bioaccumulative, especially like, for instance, Goji Kola. Goji Kola is an herb that has been used for thousands of years to help mental clarity and mental. And it's actually, it can be used topically to treat skin ailments and stuff like that. And when you, it's bioaccumulative. So when you, the more you consume it every day, the more it has a positive effect on your body.
So is that the same
kind of
thing
like
as reverse tolerance? So are you saying that it has a reverse tolerance then?
In a way, yes, because it has to be, I wouldn't consider it a tolerance necessarily. I would consider it something that builds up in your system I don't know, maybe tolerance would be a correct word, but it's not something, like in the instance of Goju Kola, it's not something that is psychoactive as much as it is, it kind of just affects your memory and cognition and stuff like that. So I guess you could use tolerance, but I don't know what would be a better word, really.
Okay. Now.
So, yeah, that's pretty good.
And I guess I also want to make note that herbs evolve in your own mind as well. So when you're blending things, you know, at first, it may be kind of weird to you, the blend that you created. Maybe it affected you in a way where you didn't really resonate with it. But I found in my experience that you got to really give an herb, a blend, a chance for it to grow on you to really see
absolutely
if it's going to fail or succeed. So take your time when you're blending. and you're drinking herbs, don't just discard something right away. Start simple. Just start simple. Dan, you want to tell us how you went about blending lemon? What was your methodology? Speak a little closer.
So started with that. Our first blend that came out was a little too calming. It didn't have the tart sweetness we were looking for in lemon. So we discarded that. It wasn't a bad drink. It was just wasn't what we were looking for. So we simplified it a little bit, and we changed the proportion slightly, and we got what you guys have been drinking now with lemon. So, I mean, it came out really well.
Right.
In either regard, it has a nice lemon tart to it, and has a nice
right
like whole sweetness. Well, not sweetness, but like nice full body.
Right. So, everybody, we're talking about a lemon blend that we released on Circle of Drink about a week ago, just for you guys who are wondering what exactly blend we're talking about. And Dane was the one that spearheaded that blend. And when we first created it, it was sort of it was about 5 or 6 ingredients, actually. It was lemon peel, green rooibos, lemon verbena, yerba mate, myrtle leaf, and
rooibos.
Yeah, we had green rooibos. And I think we had honeybush?
Yeah.
And honeybush. So whatever. We had about 6 ingredients or so. And it tasted really good, but it didn't have that character.
Yeah,
I really believe that everything needs that, like, character. You know, it needs something to pop through. And there was nothing that was popping through. There was nothing, there was no wow factor. So as Dan and I continued to drink it over a week, Dan was like, why don't we just delete 3 of the ingredients and simplify and see what happens. So, we just simplified and Dane was like, let's just use the myrtle leaf, the yerba mate, the lemongrass, and lemon myrtle. And that worked because the lemon myrtle is the one that became the hero. The lemon myrtle was the one that became the base. Every single blend needs a base, whether that be yerba mate, lemon myrtle, or rooibos. Your base is the blend, is the herb that is going to be the bedrock for that particular blend. Yeah, and that's the one that you usually put more in, usually, because the base is the one that basically surrounds and encapsulates the other flavors, okay? So a simple thematic string, I guess you could say, a thematic string would be the base of the blend, and then you need something that really pops with the flavor, something that shocks you, whether that be a citrus component or chocolate component, something that shocks you. And then you need something to kind of tie together, and I consider that the aromatics. You know, the aromatics is what sweeps everything together. It allows for that olfactory nerve sensation when you're drinking it and you smell it going through your nose and you feel it going through your nose. You need that. So think about your base. Think about your true character, what herb is going to come through with the true character that's going to kind of pop, and then think about your aromatics. What do you think about that, Brother Joe?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the very last part.
No, just talking about, don't worry, dude, I was just talking about the aspects of blending. You need the base.
Yes,
you need
absolutely. You need something that that'll definitely give the drink a body, like it very well depends on what type of blend you're doing and what body you're looking for. Are you looking for a light body that'll do well with citrus? Are you doing a very heavy hitting hard body that'll do well with roasty things like cacao and even things like sarsaparilla? I think that deserve a heavier, thicker body than lighter drinks, as if you're going to use mint or lemon and things of those aspects.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. You know, we also have to consider what sort of mood the blender's in. Maybe they're in a mood for something light and citrusy. So you have to really understand what are the light herbs. You know, and some of the light herbs are, let me list a few. Lemon verbena, spearmint, lemon balm, chamomile, these sort of herbs are very light to taste, and they go very well with citrus components. Maybe you want to buy yourself a bag of lemon zest or lemon peel or orange zest. So think about the body. Think about the sensation you want to feel when you're coming up with your herb. Do you want a light body? Do you want a medium body? Or do you want a dark, full body?
Exactly, and that really reflects in not only the herbs that you decide to blend with the yerba mate, but the yerba mate itself. For instance, if you want a smokier yerba mate, some herbs that would go well with a smokier yerba mate, I believe would probably be, let me think about that actually. I actually don't have any smoked yerba mate come to think about it. So I would have to think about that one. For some,
I can talk about that a little bit. Like,
pair
for
well.
Instance, yeah, like if we're going to talk about blending mate, a good starting point would be to what you referenced, to understand the bodies of different mates that come from different countries. So basic understanding of mate would be, okay, well, if you're looking for a light body, then head on over to Paraguay, and you're going to get a lighter body. If you're looking for something that's in between a light and a medium body, looking for something that's a medium body, definitely go with your Argentine mates, your classical cut Argentine mates that have the actual palos, the white twigs. And if you're looking for a full body mate, look no further than Brazil and Uruguay. Now, basically, Brazil grows all of Uruguayan mate. So some brands such as Canarias, Baldo, Serra, Del Salvador, these are the full-bodied mates that reign from that region of southern Brazil, the southernmost three states of, that's where you're going to find your full-bodied mate. So, again, to recap, you want a light mate, look to Paraguay. You want a medium classical body mate, look to Argentina. And you want a full body mate that's really dank, that's really just, you know, like it's chewy. You take a bite out of it, and it's just delicious and malty and Guinness stouty. Definitely check out Uruguayan mates, most notably Canarias and, I'm sorry, yeah, well, Uruguayan mates, because in Brazil they grow Uruguayan mate. Yeah. Definitely check out Canarias, and definitely check out our very own Galaxy Yerba Mate if you want to get a full-body mate.
Absolutely. And I believe another thing is when it comes to mixing herbs is that some herbs require less steeping time than others. For instance, if you were to blend, as I saw someone in Circle of Drink post earlier today, to mix green tea with yerba mate, that's a good idea. However,
yeah,
when you mix herbs like that, you will have to kind of make sure you don't oversteep it inside the mate. So how you'd usually let a mate sit, you could let it sit for up to, you know, 5 minutes or so before it starts to get like too potent. You would have to drink it within a minute or two, or else it would become ridiculously bitter and actually not good for you.
Okay. So you got to take into account the temperatures and the brewing times for each individual herb that you're using for the blend.
Precisely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, like, for instance, I found that holy basil, a very light herb. It's good to mix in with brands like Cruz de Malta. That's actually a very good brand to mix something like that with. But you don't want to use too much, because when it steeps at that temperature, it becomes slightly bitter and harsh. You still get those candy tones, but they don't really transfer as well as one would like. When you use, you know, a little too much, you have to kind of really understand how much you're putting in there and how long you're letting it sit before you drink it.
Okay, I see. So people have to do their own research. In the beginning of this video, I told people that they have to brew each herb individually to begin understanding it before they actually make their blend.
Yes, absolutely. It's I mean, the difference between experiment or like fucking around and doing a scientific experiment is writing it down. just recording it. So, like, if you record, you know, and kind of estimate and really do measurements on the herbs that you're using, you'll come with more of a better conclusion and understanding of what herbs and how long, you know, need to be used.
Yes. No, I totally agree. And I just want to let everybody know, the number one thing that I want people to take from this video is that, you know, when you're blending herbs, do it with an open heart. Do it with a, you know, an open mind. Don't take yourself too seriously when you're doing it. Have fun when you're doing it. Take your time when you're doing it. And really begin to respect the herbs that you're using when you're doing it. You know, you should have the utmost respect for every plant that you're blending. I know this sounds kind of new age and sounds kind of hippie, but I don't care. That's just who I am. That's who I am. What you see is what you get. And, you know, I really love the herbs. I really love the plants. I really respect them. I really believe that I speak to them and they just speak to me.
Yes. You can't underestimate these herbs.
Taking place. You cannot underestimate them because these herbs can
and
give you life
brings me to
and they can take your life.
Yes, exactly. I was going to say, really, to make is that make sure that when you mix herbs, there aren't any contraindications between herbs because you could actually, you know, hurt yourself if you mix herbs that don't mix. Because, for instance, if you take St. John's wort, there are a lot of herbs that you can't consume because St. John's wort is a MAOI, and it's an MAO inhibitor, so basically I believe it has some sort of response on your serotonin in your brain. I'm sorry?
Yeah. No, MAOI inhibitors we're talking about. It sounds like you're at a party, man.
I am. It's kind of loud here. I'm actually at Bula Cafe right now. We're all, I'm chopping up tomatoes.
Tell everybody
right
where
now.
You're broadcasting fucking from. Where are you in Florida? Where are you broadcasting
Madeira
from right
Beach,
now, Florida?
Florida.
Okay. Nice. What's the mate scene over there? What's the herb scene over there?
Oh, man. It's actually really cool. We're really lucky to have the amount of kava bars that we have here. A lot of people don't even have kava bars in their state at all. And it's kind
what
of a bummer.
Tell everybody what kava is. What is kava? Kava.
Well, kava is an ethnobotanical herb relating to the island of Fiji. And it has been used as a ceremonious drink to I'm not sure exactly the spirituality behind why they use it. But it's actually a very good alcohol substitute. But you never want to mix the two. That's very important to be clear about. Because while the alcohol toxifies your liver, the kava will detoxify it. So when you mix the two, it can actually cause a lot of damage to your liver. And that's very important to understand, which I was talking about earlier, mixing herbs. You have to know that an herb isn't going to interfere with another.
Yeah, we got to stress that point again. I just want everyone to know again that, yes, you should do your own due diligence when you're blending herbs because you got to understand the contraindications. Basically, you got to understand what's going to happen when I blend this herb with that herb on a pharmaceutical chemical level. Now, most herbs are fine because most herbs are just healthy food stuff that you could blend with each other and it's not going to hurt you. I mean, you take mint and you blend that with rooibos, you're not going to die. You're going to feel great. You're going to be in heaven. You know, the basic herbs you're not going to really have to worry about, but it's not going to hurt for you to spend 5-10 minutes and do your own research. But keep in mind that a lot of the research is faulty as well. There's a lot of hidden agendas out there that don't want you to be drinking herbs. Like, for instance, there's war on yerba mate right now. You know, there's several companies and several institutions that say yerba mate is dangerous. Don't drink yerba mate. Never drink yerba mate. And for me, I look at that and I laugh. I laugh because I drink it all day long. I love yerba mate, and I've read probably more research than anybody I know.
They don't want the people to be empowered.
Scientific journals on yerba mate. And I don't care what anybody says, I'll drink it forever because my research has told me that yerba mate is healthy. And the foremost yerba mate scientist in the world, Elvira de Mejia from University of Illinois, also thinks it's healthy. And I trust her more than I trust some dude running a blog. Okay? And I trust the Guarani tribe of Paraná that have been drinking mate traditionally for thousands of years more than some, you know, dude who just stepped into the game and started researching it, and he has his PhD in chemistry. I trust the Guadagnini more than this.
That actually brings up a very good philosophical point, the whole point of revolving around cultural relativism and how people try to impose on different cultures, and just because they feel like they've done research, they feel as if they know more than the people who have been consuming it for thousands of years, literally, and it's very insulting because they're just putting up an agenda when, in fact, these people have been, you know, consuming it every day, all their lives, and live to be 80, 100, however old, you know, it's nothing that's going to hurt you, and it's been shown through history as well as cannabis, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, I mean, cannabis is another herb that has been demonized, by United States of America, very much so, you know, in the turn, it wasn't the turn of the 20th century, but let's say in the early 1920s, even before the Depression, they started this campaign against cannabis sativa, you know, the movie Reefer Madness, the cotton industry came in, shut it down. I mean, there was such a concerted effort to make cannabis sativa look like the worst herb on the planet Earth, which is ironic and, you know, comical because it's actually one of the most powerful plants on the face of the Earth. And I'm not even talking about smoking it. I'm just talking about ingestion.
And I'm on the talk show,
you know,
as well.
You could eat it. You know, you could eat it. You could infuse it.
Well.
It's not just a don't think about joints and blunts. It's not just that.
Can I have a slice of tomato?
Sure. Who is that young lady on the line? Let's get her on.
Hey, Jocelyn.
Let me interview
you,
Jocelyn.
You
want
to talk about your Bamate and your experiences?
Let me talk to Jocelyn, please.
No.
No? I guess
Jocelyn!
She's eating a tomato.
She doesn't want to make history.
Bummer,
this is history.
Here, let me find someone who would be able to put their word in.
Yeah, go walk
around
and find somebody.
Yeah, let me get somebody. Joe. Hey, Joe. Hey, I have a friend, Joe, and he'll probably put in a word.
Hey, Joe. Would you like to put in a word on the talk show about your Bamate and your experiences?
Cool.
Live testimonials.
Hello.
Hello, Joe. What's going on, man?
Hey, this is Joseph. How's it going, friend?
How you doing, buddy? Good,
excellent.
Good. What's up, man? You drink some herbs?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to share a little bit of my mate love. So I'm originally from Colorado, and I've been traveling the country the past couple of years. And
we love Colorado.
I go,
man. Love Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely. I can feel that. But everywhere I go, I find, you know, young, enlightened people who love to drink mate, and it really brings people together and love to sit down and, you know, have a circle and share a gourd, and it's just it's a really great fellowship experience.
That's amazing, man. And how long have you been drinking mate? Did you just recently start?
No, this would probably be year number 5.
Wow.
I was introduced by my older brother. He brought a gourd and a bombillo home one day, and I was like, what is that? And he explained it all to me. And my personal favorite, I like to get the mate that has like some orange slices in it. You know, it's dried orange slices, and gives it a nice essential orange flavor.
And what are sort of the effects that you feel when you drink mate? What goes on in your head? Do you get clear, or what happens?
Yeah, it's a clear feeling. I feel stimulated, but not stretched out. That's kind of the analogy I'll give for, you know, I'm not hating on coffee. I love the smell, I love the taste, but I definitely prefer the effects of mate. Coffee just tends to make me feel kind of dried out or stretched or tense, if you will. Coffee does. Whereas mate, I feel much more open. And I'm alert, but I'm relaxed as well. So it's pretty much the perfect stimulant in my mind.
You can't go wrong with yerba mate, man. You just can't go wrong with it.
Totally. It's really good for, you know, social settings too. So it makes perfect sense that it's, you know, a fellowship type thing. type, because it kind of, you know,
it just
loosens social inhibitions. And, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It stimulates good conversation as well, so it's perfect.
Yep. That's one of the things I really love about mate. Like, when you sit down with people and you share it in a circle and everybody's friendly, everyone is open, everybody is very receptive to new ideas, there's no judgment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what it's all about. And that's that's ultimately what's going to catalyze this planet to, you know, a new phase. And that's what's happening right now. Things like yerba mate, you know, it's a teacher, it's an herb, it's helping catalyze our consciousness in mass. And I think anything that does that is essential and really good for us as a collective. So I really support everything you guys are doing.
No, thank you, brother. I really appreciate you sharing those words, you know, with us. I really do.
Absolutely. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to give
you
back to Joe here.
Cool. Can I get some of that medicine?
You go.
Thank you, bro. Joe,
hey,
the man.
Joe, I'm back.
Joe Mate from Florida. What's going on, baby?
Hey, not much, Dave. How about you? Just hanging out here, drinking some yerba mate.
Drinking yerba mate.
Making some salsa for Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
Yes. Happy Cinco de Mayo. Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, sir.
When
was the Mexican Revolution? Was it 1865 or I forgot?
I was gonna guess 1890s. I'm wrong.
Yeah, actually, I think you're correct.
I don't know,
no.
Dude. I'm about to make myself sound really dumb. I don't know.
Hey, I understand that. Fullheartedly. Been there.
We gotta Google that.
Yeah, exactly. But let me see if I can find anyone else around this bar who would you want to throw in a word.
Yeah, do that.
Alright.
Yo, Kenny. You down to put in a word for your experience with the yerba mate at the talk show?
Cool, man. Just introduce yourself and start talking.
My name is Jeff Chapor.
My name's Jeff Chapor. My experience with yerba mate
has been
great so far. Supplemented my my coffee usage. I drink about two cups a day, and it's been delightful. And everything feels good, and it's a delightful way to start my day.
Yes. How long have you been drinking mate?
Oh, he hit me about the phone. He's been drinking yerba mate for a couple of years now.
Nice. Oh, he said a couple
of
years?
Sir.
Okay, cool. Nice, man.
Yeah, I've been drinking yerba mate myself for about two and a half years now. Recently, I've been, you know, consuming the traditional method, which has by far made all the difference. Which is what I like to stress, you know. You can prepare yerba mate as a tea, sure, just, you know, as, you know, in a tea strainer, but it really doesn't give you the full effect of the traditional consumption.
Absolutely, I agree. I want to tell people about some of the tools. An interesting tool for people watching is that you don't have to just confine yourself to the traditional teapot or the traditional French press or the traditional tea infuser. There's another way to experience all these beautiful herbs. A gourd. You see this? This cup is called a mate gourd or a tea gourd. Any sort of gourd, okay? You get one of these straws, which is your bombisha. You add your herb in here. You add the bombisha, and then you add your hot water, and you could drink any herb you want out of this cup. Any single herb. It could be mint. It could be lemon verbena, myrtle leaf. It doesn't just have to be yerba mate. It could be any single herb. And I guarantee you, once you start drinking herbs out of a mate cup like this, you're never going to look back, man, because it's too much fun. I still drink out of my teapot. I still drink out of my French press and my tea infuser. But something about holding this in my hand, drinking out of it all day
long, empowering.
Sharing it, passing it with other people after I drink a round, fill it back up with hot water, pass it to my right, something magical about that. something beautiful about that.
It's so ceremonious, and it's just a beautiful thing. People always come up to me and say, "Hey, Joe, what is that? I've never seen that before. You know, I see you with it, but I just don't know what it is." And when I get into
right.
it, I tell them, you know, I go through the whole spiel, and I tell them everything I know about it, and they try it, and they generally almost always love it.
It's the bomb. I love it, man. I love the gourd. I can't stop using the gourd.
it's the fact that people, us as a community, we need to really rethink the way that we energize ourselves, because when we drink energy drinks and when we drink, you know, even coffee, it can be very even debilitating, and after a while it just gets old. But yerba mate, it just simply doesn't. It's something that you can keep going and going and going.
And that's a good segue into a lot of the times, guys, there's a medicinal aspect of blending herbs. It's not just about taste for me. It's not just about smell and aesthetics. It's about health. It's about taking care of my temple. This is my temple. Okay? Now, I'm only on Earth for, let's say, 100 years, okay? And while I'm on Earth, I'm going to be driving this car. This car is my physical body. That's what I'm driving right now. I'm driving a physical car. It's just on loan. I don't own it. I'm just borrowing it from Mother Earth. After that, I'll go on another vehicle. That's another conversation, okay? But while I'm here on Earth, I need to take care of my mind, my psychology. I need to take care of my physiology, my body, and I need to take care of my environment. Who am I around? What is the Earth like? What's the garden like? What's the air like? My environment. So, one of the main reasons why I drink herbs is because they're so damn healthy for me. They love me. The mint loves my body. It just takes care of me. The mate just takes care of my mind, keeps my mind crispy, keeps my neurons firing, keeps my cholesterol in perfect order, keeps my glucose levels in perfect order. I'm healthy as hell. And I drink, I really believe a lot of it has to do with drinking herbs. Herbs have kept me healthy. They're my greatest health insurance. Yes, I have regular health insurance, but this is my true health insurance right here. A cup of yerba mate every day, 2 cups of yerba mate every day, plus all the other hundreds of herbs that I drink. That's the best health insurance that I could ever, ever.
Well, when you think about where yerba mate is grown, it's grown in the rainforest, and the rainforest in South America has some of the most nutrient-dense soil on the planet, and when the plant soaks up those nutrients, it stores it in its leaves. And when you consume the chlorophyll, when you consume the nutrients that are in the leaves, it can't help but be beneficial for you.
It speaks to you. That's the intelligence. Like, people need to start to learn. Well, I don't want to say people need to start to learn. I don't like that sort of talk, but it would be great if people started to open up their minds and started to look at plants in a new way and start to say, okay, these aren't just some things that we could step on and destroy. No, these things came before us. From out of these things, we came. Our DNA came out of plants. Where else do you think our DNA came from? It came from plants.
Hey, Dave, did I tell you, did you ever hear about how hemoglobin and chlorophyll are exactly the same? The only difference is that in the middle of the molecule, instead of iron,
magnesium.
That's in hemoglobin. Yeah, exactly. It's magnesium.
Yes.
Otherwise, exactly the same. And if chlorophyll builds your blood.
Plants
it's meant
blood.
For your
it's all
blood.
Chlorophyll. That's the blood of plants.
Exactly. And
what
it really does. Oh, I was just saying, it builds your blood system. It makes your blood stronger. It makes your blood want to thrive and it just builds the integrity of your blood.
Yes, of course.
It's
so
almost
like
a shield.
It's amazing, man. Do you know how many stories I get from people, like, shooting me emails every single week? Dave, yerba mate was the only thing that help my blood pressure. You know, Dave, yerba mate was the only thing that allowed me to sleep at night, you know? And it's just like, of course, these things don't surprise me, dude. I get so many emails like this, it doesn't surprise me anymore, you know? And you have to imagine that there's thousands of herbs out there that could heal your body in so many ways. It's not just yerba mate. I love yerba mate, don't get me wrong, but I have to admit, yerba mate is not the only amazing herb out there. It's just one of the best.
just there's so many other herbs out there. Like, we've been playing around with rooibos lately. We've been loving rooibos, man. Rooibos is like right now, man, after mate, rooibos is like my big bro, man. I'm loving rooibos right now. Basically, rooibos has, for me, it's kind of interesting because it's kind of calming, but it also kind of gives you energy. You know? It's calming. Like green tea.
I actually don't have much experience with rooibos.
Dude, rooibos, dude, if you get, like, the green, there's two types of rooibos. There's the green rooibos, and which is the one that hasn't been fully fermented, hasn't been fully oxidized. Mm-hmm. And then you have the red rooibos, which has been fully oxidized. Basically, rooibos is the green tea of South Africa. It's essentially a grass that has high medicinal value, high antioxidant activity, high bioavailability in the body. This is a very powerful plant. In my opinion, it is a superfood. This particular tea has a lot of the same compounds that green tea does, but it also has certain compounds that green tea does not have, most notably, I think this is called nothofagin and acelphin. These two compounds work on the body's respiratory system. They work on cleansing the blood. They work on boosting your cognition. So you got to pay due respect to other herbs that have different compounds. A lot of people get caught up in this whole green tea, this and that. But you got to keep in mind, green tea is just another herb. Camellia sinensis is just one of many amazing herbs out there. It's just that since we've marketed the shit out of Camellia sinensis since the 1600s, we've been marketing it heavily for hundreds of years. It's been so deeply positioned in everybody's mind that green tea is the best and the only herb out there. No, green tea is okay. It's pretty damn good. It's very good. You know, it's up there. But it's not the only herb that you should be drinking. It's not the only tea. There's thousands of teas out there.
Exactly. There has to be a balance when you consume herbs.
Look outside and be like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, like the herb we were drinking last night, Dane was coming up with a blend, and we used Sazandra berries.
Yeah.
Dude, Sazandra berries, these things are crazy. They give you, like, intense energy, and they taste like sour, sweet, salty, pungent, all at once. They have all five flavor profiles going on all at once. It's insane, man.
Oh, wow.
Goldberg.
Yeah, those are the gold. No, Sazandra berries as well. Both. Yeah, both. Yeah, dude, Sazandra berries, I may be mistaken, but they're from China. They're basically what the Chinese call longevity herbs. Longevity herbs. Yeah, like goji berries is another longevity herb. Herbs that basically are adaptogens. You know, these are the herbs that you drink.
Oh, yeah.
And you can survive on them. They adapt. They help your body adapt to stress. Internal, external
I mentioned it in the previous segment. I actually have a plant that goes by the name of longevity spinach. And it's probably Chinese, it's indigenous to China and also its cousin Okinawa spinach is indigenous to obviously Okinawa, Japan.
They're
extremely beneficial herbs that literally will help your cholesterol, and it'll actually regulate your blood sugar level. If you have diabetes, you just eat two of these leaves, and it actually will regulate your blood sugar level.
Oh, of course, dude, man. That doesn't surprise me.
I'm sorry?
You know, these longevity herbs are powerful, powerful herbs. You know, the longevity herbs essentially is what the Chinese refer to as adaptogens. Now, I want to make clear that adaptogens are different, in my opinion, from tonics. You know, you can have a tonic herb. A tonic herb is an herb that tones certain organs in the body. It tones them. It tones them physically. It tones them energetically. It tones them on the level of improving them and enhancing them. That's what a tonic does. It tones. Tonic tone. But then you have another class of herbs, which I consider a higher class of herbs, called adaptogenic herbs. These herbs are in a class of their own. They are able to allow your body to adapt to environmental, psychological, viral, and bacterial hazards, stressors. These herbs allow you to combat
you know, free radicals in your body. You know, they reduce oxidative stress, a process called oxidative stress, when the balance between free radicals and antioxidants begins to sway in the way of free radicals, and then your body is in a compromised situation. Essentially, when the war is lost between the free radicals and the antioxidants, your body is compromised. And what happens is you're prone to getting all sorts of diseases. These herbs, adaptogenic herbs, actually prevent that process known as oxidative stress from occurring. Not all herbs could do that. Some herbs are more specific to certain aspects of, you know, some sort of pathology, your body, some sort of bacteria or virus or sort of hazard going on in your body. But adaptogenic herbs are
also very alkaline herbs.
Yes, also very alkaline. Here, we got goji berries right here. You could consider this, I would say, I would consider this almost an adaptogenic. Maybe not fully, but almost an adaptogenic herb. I would say it's a high, heavy tonic herb.
I just find goji berries. Awesome that goji berries are in the same family as deadly nightshade. I just think that's absolutely beautiful, the fact that we can have plants in the same family that'll wreck us and that'll also cure us. It's incredible, really.
Oh, yeah. Like foxglove. Foxglove, you know, that'll stop your heart or it'll start your heart, depending on how much you use.
Yeah, exactly, because it's a cardiac glycoside, and
yeah.
It'll,
absolutely.
Depending on how you use it, it'll make you or break you, that's for sure.
Just like Amanita muscata, you know, shrooms, certain mushrooms grown in the jungle, grown in the forest of Northern Pacific over in California. Now, depending on how you cure these particular mushrooms, they could either kill you very easily, or they could send you on a journey out of this world.
Yeah, literally. Like your entire consciousness left the building.
Man, we haven't even spoken about mushrooms at all in these series. Wow. Even just like reishi mushrooms or different sorts of mushrooms that, you know, you could buy at a health food store. Mushrooms are very powerful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're very intelligent mycelium.
They actually are very symbiotic with plants as well. When plants and mushrooms feed off of each other, they actually benefit and have mycorrhizal effects that are extremely beneficial for not only the plants, but the microorganisms that are breaking down the minerals and nutrients in the soil. And that kind of symbiosis, that kind of synergy really, really brings out, you know, the different herbs they use. It's pretty great.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Like, right now, scientists are beginning to look at mushrooms in an entirely new perspective. This has been spearheaded by the scientist Paul Stamens, I believe it's Stamens. He is the foremost mycologist in the world right now, and mycology is understanding what mushrooms are, their intelligence, and they're finding that, to make reference to what you were talking about, that the forest really is connected by one unifying organism, and that one organism is mycelium, mushrooms. Mycelium is the largest living organism in the world right now, mushrooms. And they could span over the entire continent and have a communication. So we have to understand that mushrooms are very powerful. They connect the communication in the forest. Did you ever see the movie Avatar? Well,
yes.
Think of those blue veins that were under the earth connecting. Think of those veins as the internet system of
It's a network. It's literally
the earth.
A network.
That's the internet. That's the network of the earth, and that network is being operated through the bandwidth of mycelium. Mycelium is the bandwidth of that network.
It's the infrastructure,
the bandwidth
for
is
sure.
The infrastructure, and this infrastructure is cloud based. You know, it goes into the mind of people. It's cloud based server infrastructure. I don't know if you guys are familiar with cloud. And the cloud on the internet is how the servers are structured in a way where data is spread out across several zones of servers, not just one zone, but several zones. So if something happens in one zone, another one speaks to the other one and tells it to spool up some new servers to keep data running or to dump that data quickly to that zone. Basically, this network system, the internet of the Earth, is mycelium. Mycelium is what connects a lot of the intelligence of the Earth. Like, for instance, they're finding out now that you could tell mycelium to go eat oil, and they'll go do something called soil remediation, where they clean the oil or the pollution, the particles, out of the oil and turning it into food. They literally turn it into food and adapt, and they clean the soil, soil remediation. Mycelium is at the heart of that. Mushrooms are at the heart of that.
That's awesome, man. That's it's like, it's really almost like and as referring to the network under the ground, it's quite true. I believe, like, the biggest network of underground mycelia is literally square kilometers large. It's huge. It's ridiculous.
100%.
I mean, it's just, I mean, and really, like, it all, the environment, the ecosystem is a very delicate system. And when one thing gets thrown out of whack, you know, everything can be thrown out of whack very simply and very easily.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. Everything is, you know, I believe that things get thrown out of whack because when that happens, it's basically the Earth is recalibrating. I believe
that's actually why Uruguay can't produce. That's actually why Uruguay can't really produce a lot of its yerba mate, is because it's been so heavily detrimented by deforestation that they don't really have the land, the actual land mass for the stability, the integrity, the infrastructure.
Yeah, and what's funny is that yerba mate actually does naturally grow in Uruguay. It naturally grows there.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
They can't find any commercial. There's no land. The fact of the matter is that they could grow mate there, but everyone uses their land for cattle and for eucalyptus production. Well, that's where all the money is in Uruguay. Uruguay. I feel like we've been going around some new topics.
Oh man, the poblano peppers just smell so good when I'm cutting them. I love the smell of peppers. It's just such a fresh aromatic. Just incredible.
I want to make a yerba mate along with pepper.
Huh. Like a black pepper, maybe even
I tried, man. I couldn't get it right.
Oh, with turmeric?
No, I used chili pepper before. I never tried with turmeric, no. Whenever I think turmeric, I think
maybe
curry, though. I think I don't want to drink curry.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
I don't know, man. I just feel like drinking curry. Oof.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Well,
it depends
curry,
what kind of curry, because curry just means blend
curry,
of spices.
I don't drink curry, man. I don't want to drink any curry, dude. Make some curry tofu or curry seitan. I'll eat that, but I don't want to drink.
Five spices considered curry. And five spices is a very sweet blend of herbs that would actually, I think, might do very good in yerba mate, because it's like it's cloves, cinnamon, it's a few other things I forgot. Star anise. Which, by the way, goes
like
great with yerba mate. Yeah, like a chai, but it's called
star anise. Star anise, you mentioned?
Yes, yes. It's
You can actually just pour, like, just take a fresh star and just place it right on top of your blend. And
oh, wait,
honestly,
hold on, brother. We got another caller. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller.
Hi. This is yerba mate.
Hello, who's this?
From YouTube.
Yerba mate, dude. What's going on, buddy?
I'm just about to make some yerba mate, Rosamonte.
Rosamonte, yerba mate, you like that?
Yes, I do. I'm almost out, though. I gotta get some more yerba mate.
The craziest people calling, dude. I love how you just said that. You're like, yes, I do.
He's tired.
I feel like we're in another universe sometimes. Yerba mate, dude. Do you blend your own herbs?
Well, I was listening to the part where you said about star anise, and I actually was experimenting with that a little bit too.
Oh,
neat. I
call it star
anise.
Is it star anise or star anise?
I don't know. My dad calls it anise, but I call it too. Yeah.
Yeah. So what were you saying, dude? You blend with star anise?
Yeah. It's kind of like an Indian, I guess, type flavor, you could say, I guess.
Yeah, chai.
Something of that sort.
Warm.
What other mindset you got going on over there?
Preach, brother, preach. Yerba mate, dude. Yerba mate,
yes.
Dude. What's going on, man? I want you to preach a little bit. You know, what's going on in the mate world for you? What does mate mean to you?
Well, I think it's I've noticed the health benefits, I think, and also like helps me when I'm studying because you know exams are coming up in my school and definitely helped me concentrate. And if I'm staying later in the day, your mate, because it can help me keep me awake a little bit longer if I'm working on a project.
I hear that, man. So it's been helping you study to keep you sharp.
Yes.
What's your favorite kind of mate?
Some of my favorites would definitely be, I like Rosamonte and Noblesse de Gaucha.
Respectable brands.
Yeah, and then for like Brazilian, I love the Shimango or whatever.
Shimango.
Yes,
Shimango.
The only thing is like I have trouble like with the clogging, like because it's really thick.
Yeah, I know, man. Stephen Bentley's been trying to teach us, but I don't know, man. I got to come up with some new ways to simplify it all. I've been drinking it, too, for the past couple months, the Shimango. And, yeah, you know, I'm still trying to perfect my Bambisha game with it. It's definitely doable. You just it has a lot to do with getting the filter tucked under the mate just so right that it doesn't, you know, create that vacuum that keeps the water from coming through. It takes time, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Get it. Let's see where Joe is. I had to mute Joe for a second. Let's see if he's still with us. Joe Mate.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's going on, brother? What's the good word over there? And
finishing up with the salsa over here. About to get another Gordita Mate going.
From Florida.
Yeah, coming in from Madeira Beach, Florida. Here at Bull Cafe.
How's the weather?
Beach, hanging out.
How's the weather? Give us a report.
Like 60,
give us
maybe
a report on the weather.
Right now, it's in the shade at least, and we're on the beach, so it's quite windy when you get out to the beach. It's
and
just beautiful, man. Every night.
What was
night.
The highlight of the day? Give us a little bit of the news of the day, the daily news. What happened today? What did somebody fall, or was there a spill somewhere? What's going on over there? The daily. Give us the daily.
Oh man, this is my daily hangout area, man. This is my home. Home is where the heart at. And honestly, this place is the best hub to meet like-minded people who enjoy and respect herbs, and not only that, they are very friendly people and they are very open-minded because I feel like herbs open your mind. You just can't help it, because it really does root you to the earth. And when they consume it, it doesn't give the same effect as alcohol would when they become belligerent and you know just annoyed with everything. Exactly. So instead of drinking alcohol and Cinco de Mayo, drinking cava and kratom and you know getting it on that way, as opposed to the American traditional method of getting wasted.
I know. You see, the thing about alcohol, why I drink it still from here and there, but I don't like to ever get drunk ever, is because it slows you down. Like, the next day, you're sick. You're literally sick. I can't afford
and
to slow people
down. And your
mate
is actually one of the best things.
To do.
Yerba Mate is one of the best things you can do to pull yourself out of a hangover. Exactly. It'll.
Yeah,
you know,
Yerba Mate.
It's crazy. Like, sometimes I wake up right before I have to go to work, and it's like you just feel so drained and just you know, as if you have no energy, like when you first wake up. And you know, like as if you have to go right to work, if you feel that way, you can drink Yerba Mate. If you have 30 minutes to get to work, you'll feel like you've been up all day. It's just great.
That's what it does. It just does that every day for you.
Exactly. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to really start here in Florida. And I know this is going to take off. And I'm actually really glad to become a vendor. It's something that I really do take to heart. And I know this is going to be a very successful thing.
I'm happy you brought that up because for everybody listening, we're making history right now. Yerba Mate over in Florida. We've been working together, coming up with plans, you know, the past couple weeks, talking about how we're going to get Circle of Drinks going out of Florida, you know, and how we get it everywhere.
Circle of Drinks Florida is here.
Circle of Drinks Florida is full in effect. Everybody listening to this from Florida, please just say a prayer right now. Say hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Okay, because Yerba Mate is strong right now in Florida. Definitely check out CircleOfDrink.com. We got some great stuff happening in Florida, a lot of hand-to-hand transactions of Yerba Mate. So Joe is heading up that division of Circle of Drink over in Florida. Joe, so great to have you on board.
Revolutionizing the way people not only energize their bodies, but energize their soul and really invigorate and truly understand that this is not just an energizer. It is a communal drink that truly brings people together. People get to know each other. It's a conversation piece. It's nutritious.
Preach,
it's full
brother,
of nutrients.
Preach.
It has more antioxidants than green tea. It's just the best herb that you can drink on a daily basis that will never make you feel bad.
Yep. Dude, you could just drink it all day long, man. Mate para siempre, todos los días, todo el día.
It sells itself. It really does.
See, claro que sí.
There really, you could do minimal, you know, like actual work, and people would still just come by, after time after time. People come up to me every day, Joe. When are you gonna sell this stuff? I need it. It's great,
dude, man. It's coming. It's coming, baby.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
We're bringing Circle of Drink to Florida. Everybody watch out.
Yeah. Joe coming at you. Now, how about a Circle of Drink t-shirt? Do we have any apparel?
No, not really. We have sweaters, but yeah, t-shirts would be dope. Who wants a Circle of Drink t-shirt?
I sure do. That's for sure.
All right. We got to do it, man.
Yeah, man.
T-shirts
are coming out. We can make it happen.
People, this is a
not
business, baby. Right now, man. We got to make it happen.
It's a community, man. I mean, you know, that's why people get together. You know, it's not, and it's just not Yerba Mate. There's a community around everything and anything. And that's why people connect, and that's why people, you know, enjoy each other and really network with each other.
Of course. That's what I want people to really understand, what the circle is. What is Circle of Drink? Circle of Drink is just a metaphor. Circle of Drink is just a symbol. Circle of Drink means come together with people, connect to people, share your ideas with people, have respect and love for people, and create awesome shit with people. And that's the circle. And Yerba Mate just happens to be served through the circle. It's just the gateway.
Exactly. You know, the cool thing about it is, you know, even people who are, they feel like they're drained. They feel like no matter what they drink, they're not going to feel energized. And then I give them a couple gourds full, and 5 minutes, 15 minutes, they come up to me and they're like,
well, magic.
You know, this stuff is serious. You know, it works. I actually couldn't believe that this would just pull me out of my lack of energy. And it's insane. You know, it's something that is going to be huge here, that's for sure. It's an untapped industry, but only because it's been suppressed no longer.
No, dude, that's why like I tell everybody, man, mate is coming like a storm. It's going to hit the world, man. It's like, if people knew about mate as much as they know about green tea, wow, people could really compare green tea to mate. Check out my video, Green Tea versus Yerba Mate. The world would be a different place because mate really works on making you cool. It's just kind of like, I don't know anybody violent that drinks yerba mate. I don't know anybody violent that drinks yerba mate. But I know a hell of a lot of people who drink beer every night, and they're violent as hell. Now, I'm not going to go into that and say beer's responsible. Whatever, I drink beer. I'm just saying, I don't know anybody who's violent that drinks yerba mate. Do you?
I sure don't. You know, it's something that I feel like not only the chemicals within the herb itself, but it just has something to do with its aura, you know, its feel, the vibrations that come from it is just incredible. Like when you transfer this gourd of energy, this gourd of love to someone, it transfers to them and they feel it when it's passed. Often 100%. Even before they drink it.
100%. It's the circle, man. Like, that's what I've always envisioned. I envisioned that from the beginning. You know, when I was still in Argentina during my third year of Argentina, my second year of Argentina, really, I was already seeing the future. I was already seeing that this is a drink. And I'm from New York. I got to stress that. I'm from New York because in New York, this is a very business, financial, serious state, I would say. But, you know, I love New York. It's very cool and hip, and it has a certain energy that I've never felt anywhere else before. So, but you got to understand, in New York, we're more like standoffish as opposed to like places like Argentina and Uruguay. If you compare the two, New York, we're much more bolder and more aggressive. And what I really learned from Argentina and these South American countries is, it's like nobody's so serious. They're more like, hey, grab a gourd of yerba mate, come over to my house, drink yerba mate, you know, have some dinner, have some wine. Yerba mate was like an open door, as Dane said before. It invited you in and allowed you to, in one fell swoop, by the sip of this yerba mate pastilla, become a friend. Become a friend of somebody.
And not only that, you know, it's something that when your body feels good, you just want your soul to feel good. Your soul feels better when your body feels better. A very healthy body harbors a very healthy soul, and it's hard to have one without the other. So yerba mate really kind of puts into perspective a balance between the two, and that's what I feel like people come to realize when they drink it.
100%, man. I mean, that's just what mate speaks to us in that way. Just brings, I don't know how it does it. I cannot quantify it. No scientist has even come close to quantifying it. But yerba mate has, for lack of a better word, magical properties. It magically helps people become cool and chill and relaxed and calm. It magically helps people to say, hey, let me make some friends, not more enemies. You know, this is what mate tells you to do. It tells you to be a cool dude. And I know it sounds kind
of
crazy, but it's true.
I feel like people, if people were to consume yerba mate as much as an Argentine or a South American, you know, they drink a lot of yerba mate, and it's something. I mean, some people drink upwards of 2, 3, 4 liters a day, and you know, they walk everywhere with it, and you know, it's just something that's really integrated in their lives because they know that it's something that, if they were to not have it, it's not that they couldn't live without it. It's just that there's no parallel energy that can be compared.
You think we need another onion? Look how much onion's in there. That's going to help.
Still here, Dave?
Hey, I got disconnected.
Yes, they're reconnecting now. They are reconnecting now. This is the interlude, guys. Make yourself some tea right now. Make yourself some gourd. We're heading into the last 15, 20 minutes of the show. So take a breather. You know, this is the intermission. If Joe, you're still listening, sorry, man. We had some technical difficulties. But we're back up, so feel free to call in. 917-889-9947. Anybody wants to call in and talk to us live, 917-889-9947. All right, guys, so we're still here. We're still going strong. I think we're still recording on YouTube. That's cool. I think that's what we wanted to get across today. Inspire you to blend. Inspire you to love these herbs. Inspire you to have some curiosity for plants and respect for plants and to drink these plants and appreciate these plants. They have a lot to offer. They have a lot to say to you. And thank you for listening to us today, allowing us to share ourselves with you. Just you listening to this right now is the greatest honor that you could give us. That alone, thank you so much. Appreciate that. My name is Dave Mate from CircleOfDrink.com. Dane over here from Circle of Drink as well. And that was Joe Mate from Florida representing Circle of Drink over there. It was a great show, guys. It was amazing. Salute to that. Drink your yerba mate tea. You can't go wrong. Mate para siempre. Ciao, ciao. Peace. That's a great show, guys. Thanks for watching. Oh, we're still on the radio, yeah. On the radio. We're still on the radio. We just wrapped up our show. This is the after show, after party. Anybody want to call in for the after party? I'll give you 1 minute to call in. 917-889-9947. Call in for the after party segment of the show, which will last for one more minute if nobody calls. And it was a great show, guys. Dave Mate over here from CircleOfDrink.com and Dane over here from CircleOfDrink.com. Just talking about blending herbs. I hope you had a good time listening to us talk and, you know, listening to our muses and all sorts of wonderings of the energy, man. The energy we have to offer. It's been a true pleasure, guys. Thank you so much. Appreciate you having come onto the show and listened. Always a great time. Ciao. See you next week, Tuesday, at 6 p.m. Eastern. Check us out on blogtalkradio.com/circleofdrink. Make sure you subscribe. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/circleofdrink. And definitely subscribe to our YouTube channels at youtube.com/circleofdrink. Take it easy, guys. Have a great night. Peace.